tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to begin by just thanking the Lord for the pastor we had for so many years here, Brother Hill, and how God, there was just some very sweet divine encouragement and instruction that I thank the Lord, I think, so precious and deep to this meeting. And tonight, this sermon really is an encouragement to my heart about how he was about trusting God to let God do it. That we weren't going to manufacture anything here. That there was nothing that God wouldn't do and use us for to do, but God would do it. And we don't have to have grand ideas of how we're going to get things done or plan or whatever. I thank God there was a perfection of what the Lord, not to compliment a man, but to thank the Lord for the grace of God that was with him. It was by faith. And I thank God, you'll understand where this is going. Verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Listen to that one more time. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. My heart has been heavy, once again. Ones that often have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And how important it is for all of us to really recognize this in our lives. God forbid that we would ever end up like that runner in the Word of God there in Samuel that had to run. Oh, I want to run. I'm going to run. I'm going to run and be this messenger. And he got there, and not only did he not have anything to say, the thing that was even more so than he didn't have anything to say, he didn't even know anything about the subject. If you really listen to that and really understand that, a zeal according to knowledge is what we're after. We do not have anything to say truly without the truth. Our conversation, our citizenship, our manner of life, our everything is Christ. By the grace of God, I thank the Lord. There isn't any word of encouragement I could give you. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the word of his grace. I thank God that how and why would I want to give you anything else but what you're needing for your life to live, which is the same thing every Christian needs, which is we live by the faith of the Son of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you know what we need? We need the word of God. And I thank the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. Praise God. I've heard people say, you got word for me. And I watch that. It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. Now, the Spirit gives us utterance, doesn't he? And the utterance of the Spirit, we know, is always going to be the things of Christ. We know that what the Spirit will only utter is that of the Word of God. It'll always be in accordance with it. It'll always be the things of Christ. It won't ever be anything outside the will of God. When you say trying the spirits in the Word of God, you try them according to the Word of God. You don't have to have some kind of special whatever, you know. You've got the special everything right here. This is what everything is measured by. Him. He's the measure. And I thank God we can believe it. But it grieves my heart oftentimes. And not that I know anything personally, but I'll tell you what, I know where to go, where the knowledge is. It's right here. But it grieves my heart, the ignorance that abounds in God's precious people. And God's people are precious. Because when you're born again, you're precious. You need to understand that. We sure can act ornery and ugly. But I'm talking about the missionary mills. I'm talking about the minister mills. I really think a lot of times it just pumps out a lot of empty suits and titles with nothing to say. But man has no one to blame but themselves. And that's how they get into these predicaments. And it is so true. And think of how many times, you know, we were warned and told You start to make steps away from truth. You start to plan in man's plans. You'll eventually go so far that Ichabod would be written over this door. God has departed. And God forbid that would ever happen. But that has happened. That's happened in some denominations that were very godly to start out. That really were in many ways much of the foundation of Christianity, even in the United States, even some places in the world. But when you begin to step away from the truth, those steps don't just stop, they continue on. And the Word of God tells us these things. You know, the Lord brought my thoughts to the likes of Abraham. Think of this. He was called out of an idol shop. Amen? Think of little Samuel. He was called by God himself when he was just a little boy. David, he was chosen of God to be king over Israel. God used that prophet to show him. And Peter and John, they were called by Jesus Christ himself to be fishers of men. Do you see a pattern with this? I pray you do. None of these men were called by man. None of them were even looking for it. Think of that. They weren't even looking for it. They were not called of men. They were not looking for it. It wasn't their desire at all. But what mattered, and the only thing that mattered, is they were God's choice. It was God's will. And God called them. And that's each and every one of us. Praise God. I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Whom he foreknew. And it set everything in plan. His omnipotence. His all-knowing. And his all-knowing grace in his Son. He knows. He knows them that are his. And not a one of them is lost. Praise God. Now, so we can conclude it's not in our ability, is it? It's not. We thank the Lord as we read about Israel. They had to be reminded again and again, but they don't get it. I didn't choose you because you were a great number of people, because you had great talent, because you're pretty, whatever. He could go on and on and on. I chose you because I love you. I love you. And I appreciated Sweet Ty talking about Israel and how God has graced them and how God has blessed them. And yet you think about probably the most against the things of the scripture of any group of people there are. And it's so sad. But God said it would be that way. But even so, and how much they could ever deny, God still says to them, you'll return as my faithful wife. You're still mine. April, oh, I love him for that. But you think about that it's not in our ability. Think about the Apostle Paul. Do you know the only thing that really infers about his preaching is that he preached a long time? Really. It's the truth. That poor fella, he preached so long, he fell asleep, fell out of the window, and it killed him. That's why we put you all on one floor here. They talk about doing another deck in here. I say, oh, no, no. You never know. Don't want anybody falling out. But see, it wasn't in Paul's great voice. It doesn't talk about that. It didn't say that he was a dynamic speaker. He had the only thing that mattered. He was called by God, and he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. See, God gets it done. Do you understand that? Man can whip things up, but God gets it done. Oh, yes, he does. It's beautiful how he does it. And he does it through his vessels. Isn't that sweet? I was thinking today, and it was so precious, and I want you to pray for that man. His name is Max. He came today. And we were at the house working. I had a lot of cleaning we were doing, and I was assembling a new desk at my house. Pastor has a new desk, praise God. I like my old one, but I sure like my new one. But I was putting it together and different things, and I heard Polly at the door. We set things out for the different places to pick up things. I don't know which with this. I think it was Ark that we had this time. And so we had the things that were there, and this man was out there. And I can hear, because my office is right at the door, and I hear Polly start to talk to him about the Lord. He said, now here's a card. And really, you come? And he said, you know, he's talking about a book that he had just written. I think it was called The Sinner and the Savior. He was excited about it. And he'd put it on Amazon. But he was telling her. And he said, you know, I hadn't told anybody about this, but I just felt like telling you. And that's when Polly said, well, I feel like telling you, this might be a place you want to come hear the Word of God. Now, think about how many people that you've went out of your way maybe to tell the truth to, tell about the Word of God, invite to church. And here, God said, this is the appointment that you weren't looking for, that you didn't expect, that you didn't desire. And I'll just tell you, I mean, you know, oftentimes, maybe some are more encouraged to tell people about Jesus. But you know what? If the Lord wants it, he'll open that door for you. You keep hearing his truth and falling in love with him, he'll bring the vessels for you to testify to. Always does. He always gathers his saints. But see, I pray that we really receive this and we are encouraged in the Word of God to take our place in the body. See, the Lord has a perfect place, and he always does, for each and every one of us. It's exact, it's perfect, it's precise, and if we will embrace it, it's the place, and matter of fact, the only place that will ever win God's best. Amen. Do you understand that? I've been around a little time in this. I've seen ones that were zealous for things that people thought were good. I've seen families push ones to be in positions. I'm talking teaching, pastoring, and evangelizing. And I will tell you, without exception, it's been a mess. It's always hurt those people. God calls you. God calls you. You might have a thought. You might have a desire. Leave it before the Lord. Amen. I love godly thought. I've said this many times. I love godly thought, but I let him give the action. Do you get that? Amen. There's things I'd love to see. There's things that, you know, that Lord put on my heart once in a while and just to pray about. But you know, most of the time, I have to tell you, they were a beautiful, wonderful thought. They were real to my heart. Had a wonderful conversation with God. He brought faith to my heart. And oftentimes when I prayed for something and I thought I was a little bit disappointed, he always showed me, oh honey, if I would have given you that, you wouldn't have had the best. That's the truth. Now, go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read verses 14 through 18. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 18. For the body is not one member, but many. See, I don't want to be like you, and I don't want you to be like me. You know what I'm saying? I want to be like him. And I thank God, you know. He's the light. All right? He's the light. Man's not light. He's light. He's the light, praise God, in us. And that's the beautiful thing. You let him shine through you in your vessel. And I mean in its fullness, you'll be a bright light. Like Brother John Hill said, you might be so bright, you might attract a lot of people maybe. They might come to you and say, you know, what's that hope that lies within you? You know, you're not the best looking thing. And man, you've had a lot of hard knocks. How are you so happy? Huh? Everything doesn't go right. I've watched your life, but yet you got peace. You don't go around telling me necessarily all of your problems. You listen to me and you always give me little things about the Word of God. How come? Because I don't want to give my problems to you. No offense, I want to give my problems to God. Huh? Let's read this. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And isn't that something? We can be like that, can't we? Well, if I don't have that place that sister so-and-so has, or brother this and that, you know, I'm not of that body. Huh? See, and that can be in a lot of different ways. See, you can get in your mind that something has to be a certain way. And I'll tell you what, you better get out of that soon. Because if you get stuck in that, you can get really bitter really fast. Oh, yes. Now, so, in verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? I love that. I love to smell. Most time. Never mind. I was going to tell you about my sons. Never mind. Okay. But now hath God set, this is so sweet. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. How? As it has pleased that piece of the body? Or that part? No. No, 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 no. As you desired to be in that body? No. As it hath pleased him. As it has pleased him. Is that your goal? Is that your desire to please the Lord? I want to please the Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, I did not desire this. Not the word, but being your pastor. I would never trade it for anything. It's been the greatest joy of my life. But I thank God that he called me, praise the Lord, by the will of God. And if I would have taken another place because I didn't want that, I'd have missed something. And that's exactly what God told me. I don't have to have you. But this will be the greatest blessing of your life. Do you have to be a pastor to have the greatest blessing in your life? No, 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 no. It can be the greatest disaster of your life if you chose it and God didn't. And unfortunately, along the way, you could hurt a lot of people. Because why? Because you're going about it in your own belly, your own desire. I hear that so often. And I hear so many times when people, and I know the will of God for you. You know what it is? That you grow up into him in all things. That's the will of God. Sometimes I do get unctions in my heart and different things that God will reveal to me about choices. A lot of times evident when things in families are making steps away from the truth. And it can be in a lot of ways, not just physically or distance-wise or things of that nature. It can be pretty evident. Most times what I hear is there's a reason why that is. And it's always kind of a backdoor spiritual reason. Well, the Lord's going to use us too. I'm telling you, I've heard that phrase so many times. People justifying of why they're going away from the truth. The only person you're fooling is yourself. It's the truth. I don't think I'm telling too many people anything new here. Praise the Lord. We are giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the things which we know, lest at any time we should let them slip. But you see, how beautiful, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And I want to emphasize this. By the grace of God, we should all be ministering vessels. You know what? You know Paul's gospel. You know what? You do have something to say. Oh, yes, you do. Now you really do. Praise God. But here it is. But here it is. But that all of us that are ministers, all should be because of the hope that lies within us, that ones would inquire what that hope is. Amen. See, it's not that meaning that we're ministers to evangelize or teach or pastor in that regard. And just to always know that. that thank you, Jesus. I appreciate you, Sean. You know where the Lord's placed you. A wonderful place of ministering, hasn't he? He's given you a pulpit at a car wash. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? And never be obnoxious about it, honey. Don't. Because that'll be your belly. That glory will go to Sean and not to him. We're in these in this flesh. In these flesh, this flesh has one tendency. And it's to yield to sin. It does. Amen. It wants to be unruly. It wants to magnify itself. And that's why by the grace of God, we need to continue to hear the word of God. Thanking Jesus. I thank him for that message we had today. Now overall, think of this. We must know the word of God before we have anything to say. The truth. Thank you, Jesus. I think of sweet Apollos in the word of God. Think about that, brother. He submitted himself to knowing Paul's gospel, even though he was a marvelous preacher. He was a powerful preacher. People came to hear him. There was conviction in him and ability. You know that? Oh, yes. But he submitted to learn and to learn the gospel by a little couple that no one even knew. And I'm sure some of Apollos' friends or whatever you'd say, or companions, what are you doing? You don't need them. You're so much beyond them. You get crowds. You're known as the powerful preacher. That's just a little old couple that nobody even knows them. What do they have for you? And yet he submitted himself to learn Paul's gospel. And we never hear about him preaching until after he learned Paul's gospel. Because he realized, I don't have anything to say until I learn Paul's gospel of what I just heard. That's powerful. That's incredible. And I thank the Lord for that. So, the not many mighty, the not many wise. The Lord sure had grace on Apollos, didn't he? He was mighty. And he was a mighty Christian. But he wanted to be a mighty man of God. He was the Lord's. Hallelujah. Now, the word of God warns us. I think of these things. Warns us of making a shipwreck of our faith. Amen? Yep. The word of God warns us to not make the vain the grace of God in our lives. Amen? The word of God warns us that we can run well, but when we want to return to that self-righteousness, it's who hath bewitched you. These are warnings. Great warnings. Even ones, and I know that whenever we hear this name, we don't remember back to where this man started. Alexander the coppersmith. The Apostle Paul said, he has done me much evil. When Paul was beginning that wonderful encouragement of the ministry, Alexander was one of the first ones that were around him and near him and heard him. There's much there that you can make an encouragement and connection that he was helping and assisting. But yet, what happened is he was noted and marked out by Paul. He has done me much evil. See, we can start off well, but we can even become an enemy of the cross. Do you know that? Oh, yes, you can. A Christian can. And oftentimes a Christian can be the greatest enemy of the cross. And how that happens is they can even be an enemy of the blood, the mercy, the grace of God. Christians can be this way when we slip into legality. That's it. When you slip into legality. Christians have become the enemy of grace, duped by the devil into what? Dirty self-righteousness. And that devil makes you the greatest of fools. And he does. And once again, because I was pursuing something in my own lust, for my own belly, my own principle or purpose or whatever it may be, and those are steps that continue on that eventually will walk me right out of loving the truth. Oh, he never leaves me nor forsakes me, you know that. But I'll tell you what, we sure can be very useless. I want to be a vessel that's useful to the husband. Amen? So, I thank God that I listened in here to something that was said. Be still, sit and listen. Be still, sit and listen. You don't come in here and in those little card places where you can put your tithe in, it doesn't say, what is your gift? How can we use you? Would you like to be an usher? Would you like to hand out donuts or flyers? It's the silliest thing we've ever heard. Thank you, Jesus. And you better thank Jesus for that, because that's commonplace. That's commonplace in Christianity. It's a subtle work of the enemy to grab somebody by their flesh. Somehow we justify in our minds we're going to trick. We're going to use something to lead people in. Well, I'm going to fish with another bait to get them in. And then I'm going to give them the truth. No, it doesn't work that way. You trust God. Paul gave Timothy one piece of advice. Matter of fact, mandated it. Preach the word. Preach the word, son. That's it. He didn't tell him how to organize, how to carry on. This is what you got to do. Here's the instruction manual of how it runs. You have that faith that was in your mother and in your grandmother. You know that word. Stir up the gift that's in you, son, that was in there by the laying on of my hands. That Holy Ghost is all the power you'll ever need. Now go take that and preach the word. Do you think that was only applicable to Timothy? Or do you think it's applicable to every single one of us? Isn't that beautiful? So wonderful. You got this word. By the grace of God, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stir it up. Stir it up. See, there's a willingness and a yieldingness to have that stirred up. When we withdraw, when we get afraid, when we go with, sometimes I don't feel like it, that's, you're refusing to have it stirred up. You got to submit. You know that? And it's in a lot of different things, but I'll tell you what, this altar's a good place to submit. And I thank the Lord. People are frequenting this altar. Young people, old people, all people. And it's not just a quick hit. You linger. You receive. You need to have it stirred up. Because it'll die out if it's not. I'll assure you that. Because the word tells us that. If we're not quickened and stirred in the Holy Ghost, it dies away. See, that's what happens. You can continue to preach the truth, and by the grace of God, we're going to preach the truth. But you better always have the love in it. You always have to have spirit and truth, or you're going to dry up. And unfortunately, but see, we were told this. Told by one that had been, thank the Lord, in the grace of God for many, many decades. And he said, I've seen it. And those churches, they started off well. But then they quit emphasizing the love of God. And they dry up. They dry up. We're going to march this way. This is the way it's going to be. And it's an orderly this and that. And no, it's the word of God. And I love that. It's an organism. It's an organism. It's alive. It's moving. It's beautiful. And it's all done by sowing the word of God. But think of how the little ones love to come to this place. They know they're loved here. They love to hear the truth here. Every single one of you, you love the kids. You give them hugs. You encourage them in the truth. You're not standing over them. Be still. You don't do that. I want them running around in here. They'll get a bark, and sometimes they get a bite. Some of these parents have been surprised what pastors had to say to them. You encourage those kids to be respectful. They talk to an adult, and especially to an adult in the Word of God. They look them in the eye. They don't fidget on things or phones or things like that. Let me tell you something. We've engaged in holy conversation. We're amongst the sons of God, man. I'm just going off to work today, and I don't care what president came by. We're with the sons of God. We best pay attention. Praise the Lord. So nowhere in this word do we ever grow by being busy. You know that? You don't grow by being busy. You don't grow by being puffed up. You don't grow by being whipped up into a frenzy. The prayer houses that I hear today, oh, we got a new worship center. Yep, we have a new garbage can. Amen. The enemy continues to encourage ones, if you'll be encouraged, to build them and build them and build them. I want God's best for people. I'm sorry. Amen. I'm not sorry. I'm thankful. But I want God's best for people. And it's not there. And I thank God that, those things are built for the belly of man, for the flesh, instead of the truth. And it's sad. It's very sad. By the grace of God, the word tells us to stay with the stuff. And how does that happen? By growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank the Lord. Those are the ones that will win. The Word of God tells us the least shall be the greatest. I speak to it almost without fail. People call me every week. And I know some of them that I meet along the way. Whether it's a trip I take here or something of that nature. And they get so encouraged because, oh, and I met another pastor and you'd really like him. And as you start to dig down a little bit, it's all about growth, but growth of numbers. Growth of buildings. And I, without fail, I'll stop them. What about the growth of Christ in you, the hope of glory? And I thank God there's becoming more of a silence to really receive it as opposed to anything else to say, well, but no, this is a good thing. We're in the church age. There's about one good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that's about winning Christ. But see, that mark for the prize, those are the ones that'll win him. That least that shall be the greatest. I love as it says, thou hast a little strength to the church of Philadelphia. That means they're a little in number. They're not noticed. They're overlooked. Nobody even wants to hang around them. They're the hidden who someday will be made known that he's loved you. And it's all because you took that place. And I know that you understand too, when you really take that place in the whole counsel of God, you're taking a place in the glorious church, that body, without spot or wrinkle. See, you're taking a place in that bridal body. And the only place in that bridal body you'll ever take is his place. It won't be any other place, will it? Hallelujah. And you thank the Lord. And you just rejoice. I appreciate you, sister. And we have, my mind's a little tired right now. But have that sweet sister coming in as well too. Sweet Christians, wonderful Christians, but there's a harp string being on their heart. There's more. And yes, I have been in an organized thing, and it's been sweet, and there's people that love the Lord, and I've been in this church for years and all of these things, but you begin to really take the place in that body that he's ministering to you to hear. You gotta go. Amen. You gotta go. Amen. And it's not about Living Waters Tabernacle. It's about the living water. Amen. And that's what I say. And I'm talking about the living water that flows from where? The throne of God. And you keep feeding on that living water. And I mean, you really go upstream. You get one place. And that's right into the midst of the throne of glory. But you got to get to the headwaters. Got to get to those headwaters. You got to keep going. But he gives you the hinds feet for it, doesn't he? And you pant after it. And you keep going on. Ones get tired along the way. But then there's ones you never thought. And maybe even at a time you thought they were so far back downstream. And you're looking up there and say, how in the world did they get there? Grace of God's a mighty powerful thing, isn't it? Just run on. We just keep running on. And that's the place. Just keep taking his place. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.